Amen. If you want, you can open your Bibles eventually to Psalm 1. We'll get there, but it'd be a bit. I was trying to think, with this being the 4th of July weekend, do I want to continue with the Sermon on the Mount series? Nancy and I will be off for the next couple of weeks on vacation, and I thought, I'm just going to wait. You want to come up and preach?
No.
Huh? Are you going to let me preach? Or are you going to yoo-hoo, yoo-ha, or whatever, the whole service? Okay. Ushers, next outburst, take care of her, okay? So, what I decided to do was I just want to share a message about the summer. And because I think it's really important and really relevant. Summer's about a third over. You know, it sort of unofficially begins Memorial Weekend. You mark it, you get 4th of July weekend, and then you have Labor Day weekend, which is sort of the unofficial ending of summer. So it's about a third over. We have a couple of months left, all right? And I want to share just three words with you that I think, if you focus on these three words, can help you to maximize your summer. But not only your summer, these three truths and these principles will help you with your life. Okay, so I'm going to kind of focus it on the summer, but I want you to look at the broader application, because these three things, if we can apply these in our lives, are going to be very, very beneficial to us. Now, I want to draw a scenario out for you. Let's fast forward 2 months to Labor Day weekend. We'll come back to the 4th, okay? All right, so we won't stay at Labor Day weekend, all right? Whoa, okay. Let's just pretend that this is Labor Day weekend, okay? And we're looking over our summer. How do you feel? Do you feel physically exhausted and spiritually dry because your summer was at such a pace and in such a way that you come dragging across the finish line on Labor Day? Or do you feel physically refreshed and spiritually energized on Labor Day weekend, ready to move forward? All right? Now, which scenario would you want? The exhausted and dry, or the refreshed and energized? Refreshed and energized, right? Well, I tell you what, because you're here this morning, I'm going to show you how to end up on Labor Day refreshed and energized physically and spiritually, as long as you apply what I share with you today, okay? Three ways of how to maximize your summer, and really of how to maximize your life. Three words. The first word is illuminate. In other words, get a vision. You know what illuminate means? To shine light and to be able to see clearly. And get a vision. We're all familiar with the verse in Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Okay? Unrestrained means when there's no vision, people just kind of run every which way and do their own thing. It is so important that we get a vision for our summer. Let me ask you, what does a great summer look like to you? I said about a month or a month and a half ago, I'm declaring this is going to be the best summer I've ever had. It's been a very good one so far. But what does a great summer look like to you? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Who do you want to see? You see, without a vision, without a game plan, if you will, for summer, it's just going to slip by. And you're going to look back and go, wow, where did summer go? I didn't do half the stuff I wanted to do. you know, and you feel like maybe you got robbed a little bit, or somehow that it just wasn't that great of a summer. The truth of it is, if we don't have a vision, whether it's for the summer or for our life, we get kind of carried away by the winds of circumstances. This happened, so we're going over here, and then a minute, you know, the next day we get a phone call here or this or that. You know, we can't live rigid and stuff like that. We have to be able to be some flexible. But we got to have a sense of where we're going. We got to have a vision, you know, and see clearly the light, the way before it has to be illuminated, if you will. Other words, we're going to be going in every which direction, and that is far more draining than following a certain direction. Okay, so we got to get that vision. Write this next statement down. Having vision helps you to discern direction from distraction. Having vision helps you to discern direction from distraction. Okay? I'll give you a good example. Jesus had a vision for his life. He knew what God's plan was for his life, and he sought to walk it out and to live it out. Okay? And at one point in this vision, that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew that was God's plan, right? And he did not allow things around him to distract him. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 9. It says, "And it came about when the days were approaching for his," Jesus' ascension, "he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem." Now, let me tell you what that word "resolutely" means. It means to be steadfast and means to be determined. Jesus had a clear vision of where he was going, and he refused to be distracted by it. If we have a clear vision where we're going, it's going to help us to recognize and distinguish and discern direction from distraction. In other words, something comes our way, is this in line with the direction God would have me to go? Or is this a distraction from it? Y'all following me? Okay. Jesus had that clearly. You know, think about it. There were so many more people that needed to be ministered to. Right? You know, Jesus set his face resolutely to Jerusalem. How many people along the way could he administer to that maybe he didn't get to? And then he had Peter and some among them saying, what do you mean going to Jerusalem and you're going to die there? What? You know, and what did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. You know, even well-meaning people can not understanding the vision that God has for us can be a distraction. They can, with the best of intentions, try to steer us in a different direction because of what they may not clearly understand our vision. So it's so very, very important that clear vision will help us to discern direction from distraction. So if you don't have one yet, I want to encourage you to ask God for a clear vision for the rest of the summer. Now, you can have your own vision, but I think a vision born of the Spirit is much better than one born of the flesh. Wouldn't you agree? And God can give you a clear vision for your summer. And just some boundaries here. A vision that God gives you will not compromise His Word, and it will not clash with His will for your life, okay? Just keep that as reminders, because I had somebody years ago say to me, it was when we were on sabbatical and gone for several months. They came up to me. I saw them toward the end of summer. Hey, Pastor, Oh, I made it to church once this summer, but we had so many offers to go here and there and do this and that. And I'm not sure that maybe was God's vision for them to be out of church all summer, but I'll touch on that in a few minutes. Understand this, that distractions will come. Distractions will come. But don't let them determine your direction. Know your vision, stay focused on your vision, and walk it out. And you'll be able to discern God directing you versus the distractions that want to take you away. My vision for the summer? I want to take some time off and rest. Tomorrow, Nancy and I start 2 weeks of vacation. Rob's going to preach the 2 weeks I'm gone, so I hope you're here really supporting him in every way possible. I try to have a slower schedule over the summer months for the church family here, just so that you can spend more time with family and go on vacations and those type of things. Also, part of my vision is to spend a lot of time with family and friends, a lot of time with my grandkids in the pool, and we got a family reunion planned over our vacation. I want to golf, watch my Tigers. I want to goof off. I want to read some novels, do some work in my backyard, and I'm looking forward to it, you know. And if I can do those things, I'll look back on Labor Day, consider it a very well-spent summer for me. But also, throughout the summer, I'm part of the reason for the downtime is I want to prepare for the fall for the church and beyond. You know, I'm excited about this discipleship that we're going to be doing and so on and so forth. But that's my, it's a very general vision to share with you, but there are more specifics. But if I can fulfill these things, in the three things I'm talking about, then I believe it's going to help me come back energized and refreshed and everything else. So the first word is to illuminate, get that vision. The second word is eliminate. In other words, choose wisely. I love what Elihu in Job said. Elihu, however you pronounce him. He was the smart one in the book of Job. And he said, "Let us choose for ourselves what is right. And let us know among ourselves what is good." Vision helps us to see the right and the good. Now, the next thing is that we need to choose the right and the good. Because there'll be many choices laid out in front of us. Places to go, things to do, people to see, life to live. Okay? And vision helps you to see the good and the right. Okay? But it can get lost in the multitude of options. So what you have to do is, once you've, let me just say this, following a vision requires eliminating the things that compete with it. All right? Following a vision requires eliminating the things that compete with it. Once you've identified what is distraction from direction, then you eliminate the distractions. All right? Once you've identified the distractions, eliminate them. And please don't regard your spouse as a distraction. "Honey, pastor said I got to eliminate you. See ya." Now understand this. You might have to make some tough decisions. I had somebody a while back just kind of, oh man, they were upset because they couldn't attend something that was happening because they were busy over here doing this other thing. And they were upset because that was happening. They couldn't be there. But it was their choice. You know, there's a lot of things that we could do this summer. But if you understand the vision, you'll be able to, I think, prioritize, you know, what's important. And once you recognize, okay, this is direction, this is good, this is right, and this is good. Over here, these are distractions. These aren't good. I need to eliminate them. I need to say no to these things. And how many of you know it's okay to say no? Okay. Except when the pastor asks you to serve somewhere. You know, you may have to choose slowing down and resting versus going and doing and seeing. And I tell you what, I know it's an age thing, but the older I get, the more I enjoy the slowing down and resting, you know, and rather than the going and the doing and the seeing. I look at my kids, and they make me tired just watching them, you know, everything they did. You know, I hear about them going to the beach or to Cedar Point or something, and say, God bless you, go. You know, tell me you had a good time, and I'll enjoy my Tigers and my recliner. But whatever you eliminate, I think it's very, very important that we make sure that we include some downtime. All right? Downtime is a very biblical thing. Even Jesus had the downtime. In Mark 6:31, he said, told the disciples, just come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest for a while. Hey, guys, we've been ministering hard. We've been working hard. Now we need some downtime. Vacations are a good thing. Now you have to get a vision for your vacation and get a vision, you know, how do you want to spend your vacation? You know, running all over the place? I mean, if you have the energy and you know, and that's not bad. You know, Nancy and I, we're not running anywhere. We're just going to... But we're celebrating our 35th anniversary this fall, and I wanted to go to Ireland, and I still do, but I just sense that maybe now is not the time. And you got to listen to that. If there's something you wanted to do, and you just sense, for whatever reason, you just kind of have a check in your spirit, it's going to happen. But I want it to happen in the right timing, so that everything falls into place, so I can maximize the experience. I could push it through and force it, but I just want to pay attention to what I sense that the Spirit is telling me. And that's what you need to do too, is you can make the best of plans, but if you get that check in your spirit, listen to it, all right? And be obedient to that. And chances are, if you're too busy, you may not be following the right vision. Okay? You know, one thing I really enjoy during the summer months is getting up early in the morning, getting a cup of coffee, and going out and sitting out on my deck at the table and in a chair. And I watch the birds. I see all sorts of birds, you know, cardinals coming from St. Louis. That's a baseball reference. Or Arizona, it's a football reference. Anyway. Blue Jays from Toronto. Anyway, but I see a lot of different... Okay, I'll stop. You stop, so I'll stop. Okay. But anyway, there's all sorts of birds. Get ready, ushers. Yeah, I do. You know, in our backyard, and they're up in the tree just singing, and I just love seeing them, and see some squirrels running around. The other morning I was out there, and a squirrel ran right on our deck, looked at me like, what the heck are you doing here? And runs out and underneath the other door, then he comes back a few minutes later. And, you know, I see rabbits, I see all sorts of stuff, you know, running around. But I just love being out there early in the morning, drinking a cup of coffee. I'll take my Bible and just read. And I tell you what, I'm so refreshed when I do that. But I don't do it every morning because things get in the way. You know, and I need to do it more. And it's easy. We can allow things, distractions, to get in the way from the things that really refresh us. You know, and it requires a measure of discipline, you know, I have to get up and kind of push everything aside and go on out there and intentionally enjoy the morning. So as simple as it is, I can easily be distracted from it. And so the simple things, they may seem easy, but you can be distracted from them. So the first thing is to illuminate, get that vision. Two is to eliminate the things that compete with that vision, okay? And again, these are principles not only for the summer, but for your life. And third is to meditate. And this is probably the most important. Stay connected. Stay connected to the vine. Jesus said in John 15:4, He said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." Let me say this. You cannot stay connected to the vine if you're nowhere near it. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, that's a pretty simple truth. When we transition into summer, the change of season, the change of pace, the change of many things can disrupt the spiritual routines and disciplines that we have established, you know, from fall into winter into spring, because summer is such a different animal here in Michigan, all right? And just that transition can just disrupt us enough. You know, how many of you have, "I'm going to discipline myself to do this, maybe to exercise or to eat right," or, you know, and you do them pretty good for days or weeks or maybe even a few months, and then something comes along to distract you from it momentarily, and you found that you thought you could jump right back into that discipline, but you found that it's really kind of difficult to jump right back in it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Well, that's true spiritually, is that we can be cruising right along for days or weeks or months, and all of a sudden we get busy for a few days, and in our minds we're thinking, "Well, I'll jump right back into it, day after tomorrow." And well, day after tomorrow comes, and there's something else, and there's something else, and before we know it, weeks and months go by, and we don't jump back into it the way we know that we should. Now, we may do enough to pacify our conscience, but we don't do enough to fully stay connected to the vine the way that God would want us to, so that we have refreshment, so that we have life and that type of a thing. Understand this, that summer is not a time to exchange connectedness for carnality. Carnality sounds like such a harsh word, but it rhymed or had the connectedness and carnality. But you understand my point. Either we stay connected or we kind of flush out and do our own thing. And when Labor Day rolls around, we're going to be spiritually dry and wiped out. And probably physically exhausted because we've allowed ourselves to embrace the distractions rather than the clear direction that we had going into the summer. Let's take a look at Psalm 1. The first three verses. I just love this psalm. It's just so good. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." All those things can distract us. You know, doing the things that the world does. And because we switch gears in the summer, it's really easy to to embrace things that in and of themselves may be okay, but they disrupt the staying connected to the vine. Verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he what? Meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Now, in the Hebrew, that word meditate, I love this, means righteous pondering. Isn't that cool? Now, think of it this way. Rather than walking, sitting, standing, rather than just sort of going with the worldly crowd and doing what they do, okay? And again, in and of itself, it may not be bad, but if it takes you away from the spiritual disciplines, then it's, you got to look at it as a distraction, okay? I mean, you can enjoy a lot of the things that God has blessed us with, but in its right context. But the people who embrace and meditate on the things of God, the righteous pondering, I love that word ponder. It means more than your obligatory reading. I know I need to read three chapters today, so checked off, I'm moving on. And you didn't even take time to digest it. It's like chewing food, then spitting it out. You know, and righteous pondering is that you go out on your back deck with a cup of coffee, figuratively speaking, just take your Bible and you sit and you read something. I read Micah yesterday, read Galatians the day before, and there are just certain verses that jump out. And I'll just read them, and I'll read them, and I'll think, and I'll watch the squirrels and the birds, and I just sort of ponder those verses, because then it goes from here and works its way down into here. Okay? We have to take the time to meditate, to ponder on the Word of God. And the Scripture tells us that if we do that, it says, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. You know, it is this unseen roots that go to the living water. I've shared this before, but years ago when we were on vacation with my family out at a lake, Naysan went out to the pontoon to do her devotions far, far away from my family. Now, I understood that. Now, if she had started the pontoon and gone across the lake, then I'd been a little worried, but she didn't. But my mom sat there. We were sitting out on the porch, in the screen-in porch. She says, what's she doing? Mom, she's going to have her devotion. Why would she do that? And you'd have to know my mom. And I says, well, she likes to do that in the morning because it just gives her a sense of strength and focus for the day. And I didn't tell her, it just helps her to handle the family. But it does. But it does, okay? When we meditate, when we stay connected, this is probably the most important point of the three, is that this summer, stay connected, all right, to the vine. Take that time to slow down, open the Word of God, and you know, I love Proverbs, I love Psalms, and you just read through and let a verse jump out at you. Take the time and you take that verse and you just chew it and you righteously ponder it and then you just digest it and just sort of, you know, let it become a part of you and let God speak to whatever to you in whatever way He wants to. But be resolute, steadfast, and determined to maintain the basic spiritual disciplines, which is, I talked about the daily devotion time, the prayer and the Bible study. But also, I want to encourage you. You know, I know that a lot of people are gone this weekend, and I know a lot of them will be in churches, different places. But some people will, you know, make church once a month during the summer or whatever. There's value, great value in consistent church attendance. Okay, it helps you to get perspective, a spiritual perspective, an eternal perspective. It's a healthy lifeline to us spiritually, but also it is a barometer. If someone says, I don't need to go to church more than once a month, I can guarantee you spiritually they're not in the best place. You know, the scripture says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. Since 1991, this church started in 1991, and I thought it was interesting that the figures and statistics that I read went back to the very year we started our church. From 1991 through, I think it's 2011, church attendance in the Midwest, conservative Midwest, has dropped 15%. It has gone from adults, 55% of adults attending church, down to 40% of people attending church. Okay? And, you know, our culture is becoming more and more secularized, and across the country, it's dropped almost 10% since 1991. You know, the East is very liberal, but in the West, it has dropped, and even in the South, the Bible Belt, and it has dropped considerably. And there's real value in being involved in church and church life. So I want to encourage you to stay connected that way. And then finally, another way to stay connected is through Christian fellowship, doing life together outside the church walls. You know, we're not to be a clique. We're not to shun our families or to any of that stuff. We're to go out and be light to the world, right? Light in our communities. And, you know, but also we have to be careful who we allow to influence us. You know, before I was a Christian, certain people were my friends because we embraced the same bad habits, all right? And if I provided it, I had a friend. But if I didn't have the money to provide it, then they went someplace else. Great friendships, let me tell you. You know, so friends can be a positive influence or they can be a negative influence. You want to make sure that you have the positive influences in your life, the Christian influences, because as we go through difficult things, we can encourage one another. And the Bible tells us, iron sharpens iron, that we can encourage one another, build each other up in the faith, so on and so forth. So just want to encourage you with all that. And I just want to sum it up by saying this. And this is my challenge to you for the rest of the summer, and you can even apply it to the bigger picture of your daily life. Number one, write down your God-given vision, you know, for your life. And for your summer, start there, and you can even apply it to your life. Then number two is to eliminate. First is to illuminate. Second is to eliminate at least one thing that's obstructing your vision for your summer. At least one thing. I mean, that's not too hard. You know, what's getting in your way this summer of accomplishing the things that you feel God has, you know, released you to go and do and embrace? And then third is to choose one spiritual discipline that you'll do daily for the rest of the summer. All right? You know, it's sometimes we, you know, oh man, I can't spend 4 hours on my knees and reading the Bible, so I'm not even going to start. Embrace the spiritual discipline. Be faithful with it. You know, I would encourage you not to choose either or. You know, I'll spend 20 minutes reading the Bible and skip prayer because I read my Bible. You know, take 10 minutes, read the Bible, 10 minutes prayer, whatever. You know, and so on and so forth. I believe that if you do these things, that if you illuminate, eliminate, and meditate, you're going to look back. You're going to, 2 months from now, we fast forward. We're at Labor Day. And rather than being physically worn out and spiritually dry and limping into Labor Day, that you're going to be physically rested and you're going to be spiritually energized and you're going to be ready to go. So that's my word to you for
for today, 2 months left. I'm in the first third of the greatest summer of my life, so I hope that you guys are as well. But let's just stand, and we're going to close in prayer, believing God to bless this summer and make it the best we've ever had. Amen.